2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 7. We'll read one verse together. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read together, shall we? For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a sound mind. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the house of God today. Thank you for allowing us to be alive, to have the liberty to meet here, to gather together with thy people. Please bless this sermon this morning. Help us to pay attention, Lord. Help us not to be distracted or be a distraction, please. Bless, we ask it, dear Holy Spirit of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The Bible says that we ought to comfort the feeble-minded, which tells us there are people with feeble minds. Some people, maybe I should say most people today, have weak minds. They are easily influenced, easily poisoned, easily persuaded. People are going bonkers today. They're losing their minds. I like that cover there, Rachel. That's a Greek heel in there. I like that. Thank you very much. You just made my morning like that. That's great. Had nothing to do with you. Don't worry about it. But people are losing their minds today. They're going off the deep end. The minds of people are being easily manipulated and deceived by Satan. The sad part is that too many of God's people are willingly being manipulated and deceived by Satan, when we, those same people, have the power of God available to them. Especially when you read a verse like this, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So God's given us the ability to withstand the onslaught from the enemy. The problem we have in our country today is that there is a lack of God in the land. There's a lack of knowledge of the God of the King James Bible today. Today, people are their own gods. Their life is spiraling out of control because of the poor choices that each of them made. And they cannot comprehend why everything is falling apart, since they thought of themselves as this kind of invincible God. Well, you go ahead and let your kids watch Superman and Batman and superheroes and Spider-Man and action heroes, and they're going to think the same kind of thought. They're going to have the same kind of thought process. They're going to think they're invincible. They've grown up believing the lies of fairy tales and cartoons that parents have shoveled down their brain waves instead of reading Bible stories. Even adults are watching cartoons and coloring books for adults now. I mean, there's coloring books for adults. Can you imagine 30, 40 years ago, going to a movie cinema, adults, to watch a cartoon? Not Saturday matinee for children, adults. But that's how much the evil and wicked Disney has influenced America. It's because most people want to escape reality. And that's the underlying reason why everyone drinks their booze, smokes their weed, and shoots their heroin, pops their pills, and snorts their cocaine. They want to escape reality, virtual reality. That is why so many people are addicted to psychedelic drugs, mind-altering substances. In their mind, they want to escape to a place of peace and happiness. But that is a fake place, not a safe place, not a safe space. No one wants to hear opposing views today, just about. They can't take it. They can dish it, but they can't take it. They want to force you to listen to them, but they do not want to listen to you. They're immature brats, babies that have refused to grow up and mature. And it's everywhere. Almost everyone. I'm talking about good people, saved people, church people, moral people. People are snapping. People are losing it. Losing, I'm talking their mind. They literally want to go out with a bang and take others with them. That's because they are selfish and evil people. And outside of God and protecting yourselves and your loved ones, there's not much you can do to stop them completely. There's not much you can do. Just make sure you're saved. Amen. Here's the Webster's Dictionary definition of sound. Now, I know when you hear sound, most times it's a sound of music, or the ear picks up sounds. And nothing wrong with that. That's part of the definition. But the sound that we're talking about here in the Bible, in this verse, is about a sound mind. Entire, unbroken, not shaky, split, or defective. Undecayed, whole, perfect, or not defective. Unbroken, not bruised or defective. Whole, entire, unhurt, unmutilated, as a sound body. Healthy, not diseased, not being in a morbid state. Founded in truth, firm, strong, valid, solid, that cannot be overthrown or refuted, as sound reasoning, a sound argument, a sound objection, sound doctrine, sound principles. Right, correct, well-founded, free from error, orthodox, free from error, orthodox. And it lists 2 Timothy chapter 1, let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Psalm 119, verse number 80. Perfect as intellect, not broken or defective, not enfeebled by age or accident, not wild or wandering, not deranged, as a sound mind, a sound understanding or reason. In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says that the folks in Berea received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, obviously, the words mind and heart are two separate words. They're two different words. They're two distinct words, and they both have different meanings. Sometimes in scripture, they overlap. Sometimes you'll find some principle or doctrine or principle or law of God applied to both the heart and the mind, but they're both different. In order to be saved, as I said a few Sundays ago, a person has to think to salvation. A person must comprehend what Bible salvation means. Once a person understands that, he will spend eternity in the lake of fire for rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior, as the only payment for his sin. Only then can that person repent, change his mind, from going to hell and ask Jesus Christ to forgive him of his sins, have mercy on him, and ask Jesus to save his soul from hell. The thought, a thought, is first entertained when a person is confronted with truth. The mind then thinks about it. First the thought, then the mind engages. After the mind thinks about it, it is the mind that decides to either receive the truth or reject the truth. It is the mind that signals to the heart the need of salvation. I'm not talking about the organs, the physical organ of the brain or the physical heart that pumps blood. The mind and conscience of a man may dwell in the brain, but I'm talking about the conscience, the mind of the person, not the physical brain that people have. The mind, the emotional heartstrings of the spiritual heart is where the emotions come from, not the heart of flesh that pumps blood. I'm talking about the base and home of all emotions, good and evil. It is the heart. The mind affects the heart, and the heart affects the mind. Because people love their sin in their heart, they reject God and the Word of God. John 3:19 says, this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So first you have to think with your mind to salvation. Then you direct your heart to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where Jesus is. If you're saved, if you're a child of God, is in your heart. You have to understand something. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 17. You have to understand some basic foundational truths about the mind and the heart. Jeremiah 17, verse number 9. Very familiar verse. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's a big verse right there. That's a very important verse, especially in this Bible study this morning. The heart is desperately wicked. Proverbs 28:26, the Bible says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Just those two verses alone should tell you, don't trust your heart. You know, I talked months ago about the Bible study, Wednesday night, I think it was, or Sunday night, I can't remember, about the law of first mention. The first time the word heart is mentioned in the Bible is Genesis chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, Genesis 6, verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's the first mention the word heart is mentioned in the Bible. So your heart is a very dangerous thing. And it's your mind that should control the heart. And if you do it right, the mind that controls the heart can influence the mind for even better things. But when the mind is not right, and you don't have a sound mind, and you have a weak mind, it's going to make the heart even worse than what God says it is. And then it will affect the mind in ways that you'll make decisions that are not right. Genesis 8:21, the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. This is what God says about the heart. You should never let your heart make decisions that your mind should overrule based on the Word of God. You should always let your mind decide what your heart thinks about and what you meditate on. Thoughts arise in your hearts because the mind allows it, because the body is there. Let me repeat that. Thoughts arise in your hearts because the mind allows it, because the body is there. The position or placement of the body obviously brings the mind along with the body to see, to hear, to smell, to sense, and to gather information that it would not have otherwise if the body were not there. People, places, and things, ladies and gentlemen. The position of the body is a good indication of the spiritual state of a man, whether they're in church or out of church, whether they're at work or missing work. You force your body, you force yourself to go to work. That's you, your mind, yourself. Your being makes the decision to allow the heart to either enjoy the decision or weep bitterly about the decision, whether it's here and or at the judgment. Romans chapter number 7, verse 23 says, Paul writes, I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So your flesh, your heart, the world, Satan, and everybody else is fighting and warring against your mind. It is a battle for your mind. Once the enemy can get your mind, he's got your heart. He's got your mind, he's got your heart, he's got your life. He's going to ruin your life. 2 Corinthians 10:5, the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that's the mind. That's why Jesus said, what think ye? That's why Jesus said, how think ye? It's important what you're thinking about and how you're thinking. People mess up their lives because they have allowed their heart to affect their mind, their thinking, and then their decisions. For example, the enemy will use your sin to bother you so much that it affects you, your conscience, because you know what God says in the Bible. You disobey what God says, and the enemy uses that against you. It bothers your conscience. That's the mind. That's you. Instead of getting right with God and obeying God, most people tend to distance themselves away from God, away from the Word of God, away from old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because they feel bad. They feel bad because they know they're disobeying God. It's a natural consequence of a child of God that disobeys God. But that's a great indication of confirmation that you are a child of God. If it does not bother you that you disobey God and the Word of God, that's a bigger problem than you think it is. It may be your heart is cold or your conscience is seared and you're a past feeling, God says. That's a terrible state to be in, ladies and gentlemen. But when your heart bothers you because of a conflict between your living and the Word of God, if you allow it, God can use that to convict you to get right with God and do right. But never allow the heart to dictate direction or decisions in your life. Never. That is why most people make the wrong decisions and go the wrong direction in life, usually away from God and away from the Word of God. That is why the Word of God is hated so much, because the Word of God overrides the emotions of a deceitful and wicked heart. Do you ever hear, especially in the elections, somebody says, well, they voted against their own interests? Well, you know why? We ought to vote the way God wants us to vote, whether it's going to benefit me or not. That's why the Word of God is hated. That's why Bible preaching is hated. The world hates the King James Bible. It goes against everything the world teaches. Because the world says if it feels good, do it. If it feels so good to smoke weed and drink your booze and get high and get stoned and get drunk, stealing money, if it feels good hoarding money and having money, the world says have at it. That's the world's attitude. You only go once or around once in life, so grab all the gusto you can. That's the world's philosophy. That's not what God says, though. The same arguments the sodomites and the queers use to justify their wicked lifestyle is the exact same argument that charismatics and Pentecostals use to justify speaking in tongues because it feels so good. I know it's got to be good and it's got to be right, Pastor. It feels so good, regardless of what God says in the Word of God. That's sad. When you let your heart override logic and the Word of God. Sinful man tries to justify his sin and his disobedience to God's Word because it feels good, and that's not right. Now, many times, good things feel good. Getting paid for hard work is a good thing, and it's a good feeling. Saving money, investing money, buying things with cash, those are good feelings. Paying off all your debt, not going into debt. Loving God, loving people. Getting people saved, loving the house of God, coming to church, loving to sing spiritual songs and hymns. Those are good things. Going soul winning, getting people saved, loving the King James Bible and prayer and fellowship, loving one another, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your siblings, strangers, helping others. And you know it feels good when you help others who are in need. Why? Because God built us that way to make us feel good when we do something that's right. But you better make sure your mind aligns with the Word of God. Reckon your mind, remember? You ought to make sure your mind aligns with the Word of God because your heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Just because it feels good does not mean it's the litmus test. You better make sure it feels good because of the right things in life according to what God says. There are good things to love and to feel good about. But when emotions get in the way, they make people illogical. I don't care whether it's hate speech, gun control, hate crimes. It's illogical arguments. Alcohol and drugs, government schools, as we said in the adult Bible study, liberty versus control, immigration and borders. As I said earlier, I said, the Vatican has stone walls about 20, 30, 40, 50 feet high. Did you ever see pictures of it? All around the Vatican. They got armed guards at their entrances, but they don't want us to have a border or a wall or armed guards on our border. It's illogical because it's not lining up with the Word of God. Their thinking is off. They're going with their emotional. How about these people? You know, if you get my text once in a while, I send texts. Well, just once in a while. Just once in a while. I mean, why don't we send out think about this. Think how ludicrous this is. Why don't we send out 7 billion absentee ballots to the whole world and let them vote in our election? Because if you cared about people that much, don't you think that you should let them have a say in our own country? I mean, that's the same logic for letting them come into this country illegally. There's no logic to it. And people can't think logically. They're based only on pure emotion. My aunt got upset with me just for the immigration thing a couple years ago. I said, you going to let them sleep in your house? No. I said, why not? Why? Why do you put locks on your doors and keep strangers out of your house, but you're going to let them in the country? People are illogical today because they're not thinking right. Their mind is not lining up with the Word of God. They're watching television. They're watching videos. They're streamlining. They're looking at everything, and they're pulling at your heartstrings to make a decision that's not right. And that's what our country does. It's always the mind first, the heart second. This doesn't make sense to illogical people that do not think right. They have lots of emotion as they protest and break cars and buildings and trample on other people's private property. But people who use their head, their mind, their brain, they go to work because they want to be responsible and pay their bills and support their families. The mind first, the heart second. But the heart can evil affect the mind to not think right, and then in turn, the heart becomes even more deceitful and wicked. When people are embarrassed and ashamed of themselves or family members, you don't feel like going out into public and mingling with people who know your sins and know your problems and know your struggles. But God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So whether you're embarrassed or ashamed or you feel guilty about anything, the Word of God overrides your heart and my heart. Amen. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Whether you feel like it or not. Amen. If you felt like it, you'd never come. You probably most times wouldn't come to church. Most times you wouldn't tithe. Most times you wouldn't go soul winning. Most times you wouldn't do right. If you did it based on feeling right. When someone has hurt you deeply, it is very easy to become bitter and angry. That's a natural response of the heart when you know someone has purposely hurt you, on purpose. But God says to forgive them. So the mind obeys God and tells the heart, whether you like it or not, forgive that person. Get over your bitterness, get over your pity party, and forgive them. That's the mind ruling the heart and not the heart ruling the mind. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. That's very interesting. The mind, heart, flesh, soul battle. Let me read that again. 1 Peter 2:11. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain. You got to think about this and decide. Abstain to decide. You got to choose. Abstain from fleshly lusts. That's your flesh. That's your deceitful, wicked heart that wants something that you shouldn't have. Which war, it's a battle against the soul. So the battle that's raging against your soul starts in the mind. And if the mind doesn't make the right decisions to stay away from people, places, and things, down the road it's going to destroy you. That's why Paul wrote in Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. That's you got to decide. I'm going to walk in the Spirit of God, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. James 4:1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? There's a battle going on. The mind, the heart, the flesh, the world, the enemy. They're trying to destroy God's people. And the only way you're going to win, if you have a sound mind. I says, you know, my ship's being tattered, wind's blowing, the boat's rocking, but the sound mind says, keep going through the storm. It may be difficult at times. It may hurt you at times. People may forsake you at times, but the mind will make you not quit. Romans 7:23 says, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So Paul's writing in Romans chapter number 7. He's got this personal struggle like you do, like I do, like we all do. And he wrote in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, Paul's writing this, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, that's in the mind, is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Paul had problems. Paul had traitors in his life. Paul had people who were chasing him, trying to kill him. Paul had people who hated him. Paul had people who envied him and jealous. It's all through Scripture. The battle is in your mind. You better make sure your mind is as sound as it possibly can be, ladies and gentlemen. The battle in your life is over your mind. If the devil can poison your mind, he'll destroy your heart. Once he destroys your heart, your mind will be corrupt, your thinking will be destroyed, and you will give in to the temptations and weakness of the flesh. The world is very alluring to the flesh and to your pride, your ego. The enemy will come through your mind, through your heart, and through your flesh to try to destroy your soul's relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no peace in a battle. There is no peace in a war until it's over. When the battle's over, there can be rest. When the war is over, there can be peace. When Jesus rules and reigns in your mind and heart, the Prince of Peace rules in all areas of your life. The only areas that he does not rule and reign are the areas that you're fighting him on, that you do not like what he says in the Word of God. And that's a battle in your mind, between your mind, your heart, your flesh, and the enemy. Remember a few sermons ago I preached on reckoning, as I mentioned. God says to align our hearts, our minds, rather, with God's mind. Repent, change your mind, to be transformed. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that, Pastor? Reading your Bible every day will renew your mind. How do you do that, Pastor? Listen, old-fashioned preaching will help renew your mind. Singing good gospel songs and hymns, old-fashioned hymns, will help renew your mind. Spending time in prayer will help renew your mind. Going soul winning will help. When you see people getting saved, that'll renew your mind, ladies and gentlemen. It'll come back into your mind. You'll call it to mind why you need to go soul winning when people get saved. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. Why? How can you do that? You don't understand what's going on in my life, Pastor. Okay, I may not know everything that's going on in your life, but I know the Prince of Peace can give you peace. I know he can give you a sound mind. I know he can give you love. I know he can give you power, because he said so right here. Through the Holy Spirit of God, through salvation, we have all that available to us. We're the ones that push it aside. No, it's not for me. It's maybe for you or somebody else, but I can't do that, Pastor. No, you can. God wrote this book for everybody, ladies and gentlemen. God wrote these truths for everybody. I don't care what you're going through. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Not my heart, not my flesh, but my mind can decide I can do all things, all things. Your heartaches, your burdens, your struggles fall under all things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But you got to believe that. My old Sunday school teacher used to say, you can because you think you can. You can't because you think you can't. So what are you thinking? How think ye? What are you thinking about? What are you choosing to think about? Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For I verily say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Matthew 17:20. He said in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. Your heartaches, your burdens, God will give you enough grace that'll be sufficient for the trials, for your heartache, for your burden. Whatever you're going through, God's promised. You have to believe it. You have to decide to believe it. You did that for salvation. Someone told you you're a sinner on your way to hell, that only Jesus can save you. So you heard, you the cognitive wheels started turning. You say, wow, I didn't realize I was that bad. I didn't realize I was going to sin. I was a sinner that bad going to hell. I didn't realize that. But I do want to get saved. So you decided, you chose to get saved. Why don't you decide to live a victorious Christian life? That the mind can rule and overrule the heart's emotions. You can do that. I don't care if it's embarrassing or not. I don't care if you're ashamed or not. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you've been in prison for the last 10 or 20 years. I don't care if you're in the middle of divorce court. I don't care if the doctor told you got cancer. I don't care if everybody's forsaking you. Wife left you, husband left you, kids forsaken you, parents deserted. It doesn't matter. God says all things are possible. That's what he said in Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And he said, the next verse, you know, the father of the child that the father was praying to Jesus for, he said, Lord, through tears, he said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. Now to the subject of the sermon, sound mind. Remember the definition of sound, strong, solid, unmovable. I mean, it's just strong. How do you do that? Isaiah chapter number 26, please. Isaiah 26. The sermon's going to be shorter than the introduction. Isaiah 26. A sound mind. And there are people who are weak-minded, feeble-minded. I mean, it's in the scriptures. But when you take, and here's the danger. When you take your alcohol, your booze, your drugs, you are destroying your mind's capacity to do that which is right and to think clearly and soberly. And that's why people make the wrong decisions in life, because their mind is evil affected. Not just by people, but by substances, mind-altering substances. It's no longer a sound mind. Isaiah 26, verse number 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Lord, it sure don't look good, but I'm going to trust you anyway. Lord, I don't understand why things are happening like they are right now, just one after another, but Lord, I'm going to trust you anyway. I'm going to believe Romans 8:28 anyway, regardless of what the situation is in my life, in your life. Because if you believe the word of God, all things work together for good to them that love God. It says all things that are bitter, heart struggles, problems and heartaches and burdens. All things work together for good if your mind has stayed on Him because you trust Him. Just go through the storm. Don't quit. There's somebody else on the other side of the storm that you're going to help because you've been through that storm. There's somebody else on the other side of your storm and your struggles that you're going to encourage because your mind was stayed on God. Proverbs chapter 18, please. So have your mind stayed on God. I mean, continually. I mean, you know, it's shame, isn't it, that it, whenever God gets us and brings us low and breaks us and humbles us, it's only then that we really run to God and read the Bible and pray more like we've never prayed before and read the Bible before. It's a shame, isn't it? But that's how people are. That's the heart of mankind. It's deceitful and wicked. Yes, I don't need to read that much Bible today. I don't have to pray that much today. I don't have to go to church that much this month, you know. That's the heart. That's your heart overriding the mind that's supposed to line up with the Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 18, please. Verse number 14. You underline this one. The spirit of a man, it starts in the mind. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? It's all in your mind. That affects the heart. I can't take this anymore, Pastor. Yes, you can. You just don't want to. You just don't want to grow up and say, well, this is part of life. I'm sorry it came your way this way. I apologize. I feel bad for you. But this is part of life. If anything, you know what you ought to do? Go find out what people in third world countries are living like. Go find out how Christians are being persecuted, murdered, and martyred in Muslim-majority countries today. And then you'll come back and say, you know what? I don't got it as bad as I thought I did. My Bible says the spirit of a man, the spirit, will sustain his infirmity. You'll go through it. It'll hurt, but you'll go through it. As the old famous Baptist Johnny Cash said, going back in my unsaved days, he said something like, you'll come out a more broken, wiser man out of prison. Boy, that's a lot of truth in that statement, man. You'll come out a more broken but wiser man. Hey, there's something good to be said about humility, that God knows that we need to go through some things to teach us some things. But your spirit, if you have the right spirit, the right mindset, it'll sustain your infirmity. You'll go through it. It'll hurt. You may weep. You might have a broken heart, but you will go through it if your mind's right. If you have a sound mind and so is resting on the Word of God. If your spirit is strong, your spirit, not God's spirit, your spirit will allow the Holy Spirit to heal all wounds and give you strength and power and grace sufficient for your trials, sufficient for your burdens and heartaches and difficulties. God cannot do it for you without you being willing to allow Him to do it. God cannot do it for you without you being willing to allow Him to do it. God didn't force you to get saved. God's just waiting for you to get saved, and you decide to get saved. Well, God's not going to force you to do right and live right and think right. But He's waiting for you to think right and do right. The Bible says in Acts 14:2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against their brethren. You better listen. You better pay attention to who you listen to. What you listen to, what you watch, I'm telling you, it's going to evil affect your mind. You hear this in the news, in the papers. Papers. Anybody read a paper anymore? But you go online, you read stuff, you know, you get the news and you say, man, people are going off the deep end. What's going on? They're losing their minds. It's unsound minds. The years of watching those video games and shoot 'em up cowboy and police and robbers and just all kinds of violence and bloodshed. I don't care if you're in the Marine Corps or not. I don't care if you're a Baptist or not. I don't care if you're a preacher or not. I don't care what your position is. I don't care what your name is. I don't care what your degree is. Everybody has a mind. Everybody has a heart. And the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. And if you don't get your mind right, your heart's going to override everything. That wicked and evil, deceitful heart is going to override everything in your life. Make the wrong decisions. But Paul wrote in Romans 8:15, "Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Well, God said here in 2 Timothy 1:7, he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why are you afraid? If it says God's not given us a spirit of fear, why are we afraid? But of power. You need power? Read the book of Acts, man. Just read it and see what they did for God. We don't. You know why we don't have power behind the pulpits or people today? Because we don't believe the King James Bible anymore. You mark the day. Just look at it. Everything correlates with the rise and fall of the King James Bible in American history. Just look at it. From the pulpits and the pews to the homes to the music, everybody's afraid today. What's going to happen, Pastor? Jesus is going to come back. I know that. What's going to happen, Pastor? I'm going to be in heaven when I die. I don't know about you. We have not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Deuteronomy 32:18 says, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful." Isaiah 17 says, "Because thou hast forgotten the God of thy salvation and hast not been mindful of the rock of thy strength." You think you can't do it. That's why people give up. I quit. I can't do this anymore. Yes, you can. You just choose not to. You don't remember. You're not mindful of how good God is and what God did for you. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? The promises of God are in the Bible for the child of God. They're available to everybody. They're not only available for preachers and deacons and Sunday school teachers and people who work for God, supposedly. They're available for everybody. In Nehemiah 4:6, it says the people had a mind to work. You know why people don't want to work? Because, I mean, especially in today's economy. I mean, people can make an excuse like 5, 10, 15 years ago, recession, depression, times are bad, unemployment's high, and people just make an excuse, you know. They just use it as a crutch. But you know why people don't want to work? Because they don't have a mind. That's what God says. Nehemiah. They don't have a mind to work. If you had a mind to work, you'd find work. You would do work. And if you have the right kind of mind, you'd live for God. And you'd be shocked how God will bless you. You can't see 5, 10, 20 years from now, but God can. I can't see it, but God can. The devil wants you to think about how bad it is right now, your circumstance, what's going on, how awful everything is. But it might be. It might be. Puts it on the screen and shows everybody. Puts it under a microscope and enlarges it and makes it so big in your life that's all you think about. Well, do you ever think about Jesus saving you from hell? Do you ever think about Jesus taking you to heaven when you die? Do you ever think what the Word of God says when you read the Psalms, Proverbs, the Word of God? Lamentations 3:21 says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." I'm going to repeat that. Lamentations 3:21. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Hey. When you recall the Word of God to your mind, you have the blessed hope, amen. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's all stand, shall we? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. We live in a world today that has gone bonkers. And it's going to get worse. Our government schools have taught these children that they're a bunch of animals and amoebas evolving from dirt cells. They hate the God of the Bible. They hate old-fashioned churches. They hate truth. Then while they're in school, before they get out of the government schools, they're inundated with drugs. They get high, take their booze, their mind snaps, and it's downhill after that. And these people are found in places of authority, high positions, doctors and nurses, preachers and lawyers, politicians, government officials. And we wonder, what happened? How can somebody do something like that? No sound mind that aligns with the Word of God and allowed the emotions of a life spiraling out of control, being influenced by all those videos and movies that they watched over and over and over again to take other people with them. Dear God, we need you this morning. All across this country, people need you. All across this church, people need you. And too often, we want a magic wand or some sprinkled dust to take care of all the situations and all the struggles and all the heartaches that we're going through, when really all we have to do is get our mind right to go through every single heartache, every single burden, and come out praising God and glorifying God and being the right kind of testimony and witness for Jesus Christ, because we trusted in Thee. Our minds were stayed on Thee. Bless these dear folks, dear God. Help us to get our minds right. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.